Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Numbers chapter 29, verse 35 unlocks something especially important for us today as we stand on the precipice of 2018, the number 8. What you need to know is that in Judaism, in Hebrew, which is the culture and the language that the Bible was written in the Old Testament, it also goes into the New Testament with Sadducees and Pharisees that are Jews, which would have been Hebrews, and that Jesus himself was a Hebrew. So Hebrew is extremely important. But in Hebrew, numbers matter, and they matter greatly. It is not mysticism. It is not some kind of allegorical stretch to say. In Judaism, in Hebrew, in the language of the Old Testament, that numbers matter. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, there is the study of numerology, which is the study of numbers. When you write in Hebrew, say you write the word eight, chait. The word eight actually is assigned a numerical number. The word for new beginnings is the number eight. The number for fat is the number eight. The number life is the number eight. The word grace is the number eight. The word wisdom has the number eight in it. So what God is saying is 2018 contains a lot of miraculous things if you have been a good steward in 2017. As a matter of fact, what God wants you to bring into 2018 is, number one, life, and life more abundantly. God wants you to enjoy life. He doesn't want you to walk around thinking that he's mad at you. He wants you to know that he loves you unconditionally and that you're fully accepted in the beloved. Someone say amen. That you don't need to be affirmed by anyone else. All you need is the affirmation of God. And if God accepts you, it doesn't matter who else doesn't accept you. Amen? So you need life, and you need life more abundantly. God wants you to bring that into 2018. He wants you to bring into 2018 grace. He wants you to know, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so many of you have tried to earn the favor of God. And in 2017, when things get tough and you go through the process and the cycle of life trying to get to where you want to go, it just seems like you try really hard and you get nothing out of it. 2018 needs to be the year that you rest in the Lord and you let the Lord do your battle for you. David looked at the giant Goliath and he said, "This is not my battle, but it's thine, O God." And when you get to the place in your life where you let God fight your battles for you, then you're in a place of victory. And a lot of times you can try to fight your own battles and you're going to come up empty. But how many of you know when God got involved and when God began to fight your battles, you begin to win more wars than what you did when you were trying to fight it in your own strength. And so God wants you to understand it is through grace that you're saved, not works. And God wants to use your good works to give him praise. But when you go into 2018, you need to strive less. You need to not feel the pressure of having to perform. You need to learn to rest in the power of God. Number one, he wants you to go into 2018 with life. He wants you to go into 2018 with grace, and he wants you to go into 2018 with wisdom. He wants you to learn from the processes that you've been through in 2017. He wants to take your trials and the things that the devil tried to destroy you with, and he wants to humiliate your enemy because of your faithfulness to 2017 or through the cycle. And what God wants to do is he wants to bring you to the day of eight. Numbers chapter 29, verse 35. It says, on the eighth day. You have to realize that each of these candles in a menorah in a Jewish home represents seven feasts or holidays in the Jewish nation. But many people don't realize that there is an eighth day right here that isn't considered part of life on this earth. It's a place where you can get to 7 days after the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll explain all that in a minute. And so here's what it says. On the eighth day, referring to the eighth day holiday after the Feast of Tabernacles, you are to hold a solemn assembly, and you are not to work, not to strive, not to try to do things in your own power. Somebody say amen. Now, I want you to understand when I say that there are seven things that are holidays for Jewish people, the first one is Passover. That is where God said, take the blood of the lamb and put it on your doorpost, and when death comes to the enemy, death will go past you. It will pass over you if it sees the blood of the lamb. If it doesn't see the blood of the lamb over your doorpost of your home, then destruction will come. Second holiday right here is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is bread that has holes in it. It is covered in a Jewish home with white linen. It is almost like something is laying in a tomb after it had been broken in two. And waiting for the resurrection, the unleavened bread. Leaven represents sin in the Bible, and unleavened bread represents something that had been sacrificed and beaten with no sin. Then you find yourself at this next holiday in Judaism. It's called the Feast of First Fruits. It means that Jesus died, and because he died and resurrected from the dead, we can say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? That Jesus was the first fruits from the dead. Then what we have to understand is that there is a very important day called the Day of Pentecost. And Pentecost is more than speaking in tongues, and that's important to have your prayer language. But the Day of Pentecost happened 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. And so the Feast of First Fruits came, and then we find ourselves at Pentecost. Numerically and spiritually, the earth is right here in biblical times. We are right here where we are called to be reach the harvest. That's what Shavuot is about. It's the festival of harvest. Because one day there's another feast going to happen. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. The trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those of us who remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is 7 weeks between here and there, and we only have a short period of time to win people to Jesus Christ. Fill this sanctuary in 2018 with our unsaved loved ones and our unsaved friends and make a difference, because one of these days we're going to be working in the field. You may be volunteering at Family Fest. You may be hiding Easter eggs this Easter, and all of a sudden a trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those of us who remain are going to be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we're going to go home to our reward. Somebody say amen right now. And so the Feast of Trumpets entered into Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is when it is where the great white throne of judgment begins to take place. It is this concept of looking at yourself and making sure that everything in you is pure and that you've repented of your sins. It is where you get sin out of your life, the Day of Atonement. It is where the priest would go in and ask the drop blood on the Ark of the Covenant of a sacrificial lamb and get the forgiveness of your sins. The only way that the trumpet is going to sound and you're going to go is for you to be ready for the Day of Atonement. At the end of the Day of Atonement, there's another holiday, and that holiday is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is a day when the Jewish people would literally build a hut, and they would sleep in it with their children, and they would make sure that they took their finest linen, their finest china, their finest silverware, and they would eat their best meal in a shack. And it was their way of being taught by God during the Feast of Tabernacles that had it not been for God in 2017, you wouldn't have made it this far. That it is God and God alone that has brought you through all of these seasons of your life, and that you need to make sure that one of the things that is the end result of a journey with God is that you're grateful to God and that you realize that you acknowledge God for your provisions and that he has protected you when you needed protecting. The enemy wanted to destroy you. He wanted to rain a storm down over you, but the reason you got a hole in your Sukkot, which is your shack, is because God said put a hole in it so that when it rains you can look up and know that it is me that has covered you through death. It is me that covered you through lack. It is I that has covered you during the days you didn't want to go on another hour. He wants you to understand that he deserves the glory and the honor for everything that has gone on in your life. But then again, there's another one. And 7 days after the festival of Booths, or the festival of Sukkot, there was an eighth day, 7 days after that was celebrated for 7 days. It was one day, and it was called the eighth day. It was called the eighth day. The number eight in Jewish numerology means that you don't strive, that you don't have to push, that you don't have to worry, that you don't have to do anything but lean on God because what He's done. It means the eighth day numerically means superabundance. It means you've entered into the fat of the land. It means that striving has ended. It means that things in your walk with God become easier because God literally gets involved while He watched your journey in the number seven, which is the number of completion. The Bible says that the devil knows that his time is short. And he wants to keep people away from the personal day of atonement. And the way he keeps people away is to cause them to be ungrateful for what God's done in their life. But we have a short period of time, and then the end shall come. Eight represents heaven spiritually in Judaism. Eight represents, though, for those of you who've been faithful to God through 2017, it represents a process. Because many times in 2017, you didn't know whether you were going to make it or not. In 2017, you didn't know whether you're going to be able to pay the bill or not. In 2017, you didn't feel God sometimes. In 2017, while you were going through the completion, while you were going through the process of endurance, while you were going through the cycle of life, you didn't think you were ever going to get to the end of it. You prayed and God didn't answer you. He just sit there in quietness and gave you a peace that passes understanding. When you were going through those things in 2017, the devil tried to destroy you. He tried to kill you. He tried to keep you away from here. But it's because he knows his time is short, and he knows that when you get to the place to where you are about to enter into the superabundance of God, and you enter into the, Satan knows that the way you enter into the superabundance of God is to go through the process. And that if you ever make it through the process, honey, there's a day in your life coming on this earth before you ever get to heaven that God is going to step into your situation. He's going to step into your family. He's going to step into your work. He's going to step into your dreams. He's going to step into your desire for prosperity. He's going to step into your son's life. He's going to step into your daughter's life. He's going to step into your mother's life. He's going to step into something. How many of you are needing God to step into something? Well, the only way God is going to step in, he's going to step into the divorce that almost destroyed you. He's going to step into the fact you were fired. He's going to step into the fact that you were left and abandoned. He's going to step into the fact that you couldn't sell something you needed to sell. He's going to step into the things that you had your heart's desire. He's going to step into your prayers when you prayed in the midnight oil. He's going to step in. Where does he step in? He steps into those who keep their lamps trimmed and burning, waiting on the Son of God. God understands that when you go through tough times, no one likes it. But if you can keep your fire lit when you all hell is breaking loose against you, honey, there's coming a day that God is going to step in. And God is going to step in with no work from yourself. He's going to step in with no effort needed by you. All the effort he needs from you is for you to be faithful. The only thing he needs for you is for you to endure. The only thing he needs from you is for you to show up when you don't want to show up. The only thing he needs from you is for you not to fall, for you not to quit, for you not to stop. Because he that endures until the end shall be saved. Somebody say amen. And so when you understand that life is full of processes and that the number seven is the number of completion, it is the number of cycles, it is the number of journey. Jesus did not come and be born in Bethlehem and then skip 30 years to get to be the Messiah. No. God made him live 30 years. And don't think the devil didn't chase him the whole 30 years. Satan started out right here and chased him the moment he was born. Herod tried to kill him. Then the devil chased his Jesus all the way down to Egypt and tried to destroy him there. Then all of a sudden, Herod said, I can't catch him, so I'll kill every firstborn child that I can find. That's what happened on Passover. I want to tell you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to see the hand of God move in your life in 2017 during the process. And what you don't understand right now, you will understand one day. And you will see where God moved cars from your children. You will see where where he added to your bank account and your money didn't make sense, but you paid your tithes, you're going to see the hand of God in your life. Yeah. 2017 starts in Isaiah. He says, I want you to be the light of the world. I want you to be a light of the world. And folks, I know you're going to hate this. I don't like it either. But that's been my year. And now I'm standing right here. I made it. I made it through more grief than I could ever think a human being could hold. Where I was there is nowhere near where I am right now, and I feel the supernatural hand of God beginning to guide me again. There's a freshness in my walk with God. There's a hunger in my heart to know Christ in deeper ways. And the reason that Satan wants to destroy you is because he knows his time is short. That Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, the season of the church age has arrived. But he also knows that the trumpet is going to sound and that the great day of judgment is going to happen. And there will be a judgment to those that are full of gratitude. And then God literally, according to the laws of Judaism in the eighth day, looks at you on the first day of the eighth day and says, my, hasn't this been good? And literally speaks to you again and says, why don't we try another day? It's super abundance in your life. Now let me talk to you about last year in your life. You got to be a light to all nations, but the number seven has deep meaning. As a matter of fact, the number seven is the number of days the children of Israel were told to live in the hut during Sukkot. Number seven right here represents gratitude. It represents protection and represents provision. How many of you, and I don't want to hear any Minnie Mouse squeaky amens. I want to hear a thunder. How many of you know God's brought you to the dawning of another year? People always want to be mature in Christ. But the point is they can never make it through the process to reach maturity. They can never, ever, they accept Jesus as their Savior, but when trials come and hard times and crushings, they want the first fruits of God, but they don't want the test that brought the first fruits. They want to reach people for God, but they don't realize the way in which we reach people for God is when people see us going through the crushing and still serving God with our lamp trimmed and burning. But can you imagine the power, if you were Satan, of what would happen if someone made it through the process with gratitude and understanding God protected you and provided for you, and then all of a sudden you reach superabundance, the favor of God. How many of you want the favor of God? Say amen. You're never going to get the favor of God by quitting when it gets tough. You're never going to get the favor of God without going through the process. Let me put it down in some good old vernacular for you. You giving your life to Jesus Christ and the Passover lamb has been your propitiation. It has paid your price for sin. But you have spent your whole life self-medicating because of depression. And as long as you don't feel your emotions, then you're okay. But part of the process is that you get to the place that when Christ saves you, that you die to yourself. Yes, you do. The Feast of First Fruits, where death takes place. And you learn to feel your emotions again. There's a reason why many of you self-medicate with alcohol, or you self-medicate with money. and buying things, or you self-medicate with food, or you self-medicate some way, is because you don't want to feel your feelings. But you have to understand that the process of healing comes about when you can open up yourself and be vulnerable and realize that God is the only one that needs to accept you. And if he accepts you and all of a sudden you feel rejected, that you handle that feeling of rejection and you don't go self-medicate in some way. Whether it's pornography or food, it doesn't matter, but you just self-medicate. But when you ever learn to feel your feelings again and to embrace what God is doing in your life, you will make it to the place to where he'll build a harvest out of you. You'll make it to the place that you'll make it to the end of the world when the trump of God shall sound. You will be all right when you stand before God on the Day of Atonement. And God will look back and he will have created something in you that could not have taken place had you not stayed on the potter's wheel. Had you not stayed faithful when you didn't know how to stay faithful. If you had not prayed when you didn't want to pray. If you had not shouted when you didn't want to shout. If you had not given when you didn't have it to give. When you are faithful in the little, God will reward you with the much. It's the process of brokenness and putting your life back together and doing the hard things and coming to church when she left you and filed for divorce. And learning why you got to buy something every time you feel insecure. Learning why you eat to comfort yourself and reward yourself. What is it in your process that you want out of, that you don't want to feel? But Jesus Christ went through every one of the processes. And then there was an eighth day. Because the seventh day was the Sabbath, which is the first day of the week of Judaism. You need to understand something about the power of number seven. Just think with me for a moment. In a Jewish wedding, the bride would walk around the groom seven times. Israel walked around the walls of Jericho seven times. There's something about staying in the process when you want to quit. There's something about going to church when you don't want to go. There's something about loving God when you don't feel loved. There's something about reading your Bible when you don't get anything out of it. There's something about taking notes even when you don't understand what the preacher's preaching. There's just something about doing and being faithful in 7 days. There's just something about a bride who's waiting on a groom to come back. And when the Feast of Trumpets happened and the dead in Christ shall rise and then those of us remain shall be caught up and be with the other. Something about the faithfulness of a bride that just keeps walking around the groom and saying, devil, you should have killed me while you had me. There's just something about a bride that is so in love with the groom that she doesn't want to quit. She doesn't want to give up. She doesn't want to stop. She says, I don't care what I got to go through. I am going to go find the groom. I don't care what happens to me this year. I will not give up waiting on the groom. There is something about a woman who's waiting for her man to show up. And the Bible says that you are the bride of Christ. And that God himself, Jesus, is the groom. And Shavuot, 7 days and seven spices. Now this is fascinating to me. If you wanted to be used by God and blessed by God, there were seven spices used periodically through these seven feasts and holidays. One of them was wheat. Represents love and charity, where God provided for you before you asked. There was barley, which was cultivated in Egypt and fed to the poor. That even in your most minuscule request, before you could even ask it, God gave you barley. There were grapes, which represents altruistic behavior, which means God's a good God. He doesn't, for the life of me, I don't understand why so many of you think that God is out to get you. I don't get it. Why God is mad at you. God is not mad at you. He loves you. That's right. And for you, I know you can say that to somebody else. But can you say it to yourself? Can you say, I'm accepted by God? Just like I am. I'm accepted by God. And when you get to the place where you understand that you're accepted by God, it doesn't matter who rejects you. so many of us are going through the process and we can't even get through the process because we're so insecure, because we always need to be affirmed by someone else. That's why I always worry about people who run. There's nothing wrong with a prophet, nothing wrong with a prophetic word. I'm not saying that. Don't go there. But there's something wrong with people who always run to some kind of conference to have somebody speak all over them and tell them things. Something's wrong with that. Because when you know who you are in God, I don't need another man to tell me who I am in Christ Jesus. Now, do I need a prophet sometime that says, Michael, God told you in your prayer closet, ABC? Absolutely, and I've got those people in my life. But at the end of the day, when you know who you are in Christ, and when you know and you can say, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Well, Michael, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You say, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm fully accepted by Christ. You don't know I've been divorced and I've had adulterous affairs. And I said, listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. Your acceptance is not based on your behavior. Do you hear me? It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of what he did on the cross. And so you're accepted when you can understand that you're accepted by God. And then if you are, when you really grasp the simplicity and the power of what I'm saying, then you will lose the stronghold of wondering what so-and-so thinks about you. And so many of you are so concerned about keeping up with the Joneses or what so-and-so thinks about you or what so-and-so thinks or who my friends are and who are that. Let me tell you something, rubbish. When you grasp that you don't need anyone's acceptance but God, you're on your way to victory. When someone died in Judaism, they had to grieve for 7 days. And they had to take 7 relatives, and those 7 relatives had to grieve with them. The word 7 in Hebrew actually means good luck. There were 7 days of creation. Now think about this. And there were 7 days. The 7th day was a holy day. There were 7 laws of Noah. 7 patriarchs and matriarchs. Multiple Jewish holidays had 7 intervals. When you speak of gold and you speak of angels in the Bible, it was always aggregated with the number 7. When Pharaoh had a dream in the book of Genesis, it was 7 reoccurring dreams. When the walls of Jericho came down, they came down on the 7th time. 7 symbolizes perfection. Noah actually took 7 of some animals in the ark. Every 7 years, your debts were canceled in Judaism. When you look up at the stars tonight, there are 7 celestial bodies that a human being can see with the naked eye. The sun, the moon, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And do you realize the 7 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, corresponds with those 7 celestial bodies? Do you realize there are 7 years of a sabbatical cycle for Hebrew people? 7 days of mourning, 7 days of that you had to wait if you ever touched a tomb before you could be pure again. 7 was the number of complete purpose for a human being. 7 was the number of a complete purpose for a human being. And one of the things the devil is trying to keep you away from ever knowing is who you are and why you exist. If he can keep you through a matrix of journeys and cycles, he'll have you the rest of his life. And he lives forever. But Romans 8:28 says that God works all things to the good that them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. How many of you had bad things happen to you in 2017? Can I see your hands? God didn't cause those bad things. It's a result of a fallen world. Depravity. But here's what God promises you as you walk through the season of 2017. I'll go with you every step of the way. I will never leave you or forsake you at any point in your life. and that though it may get hot, and the heat is more than you can bear, I'll uphold you with my strong right hand. And though it seems like death is about to kill you, I will bring fruit out of it. No matter what happens to you, I'll work it around for your good. But here's what most Christians never reach and most Christians do not know. Is that if there ever goes to become a group of believers that will stick with God through hell and high water. On this earth, so help me God, there will come an eighth day of fatness. There will come an eighth day, a 2018, where he rewards those that have diligently sought him. He says, he that endures until the end is saved. How do you know you're getting mature in God? When there is gratitude for his protection and his provision in your life. When there is contentment, to where you say, if he never does another thing in my life, I'm going to serve him anyway. He's already been so good to me. No need to stop now. Now listen to me. ...2017 was a trying time. Seven is a number of completion, and you got to go through the cycles to get to the blessing. Salvation is free, but holiness through sanctification is not. Holiness is, sanctification isn't. Well, you got to cut some things off, get rid of some friends. Go to a counselor and ask him why you feel these emotions. And get some real good help from a Christian counselor. But you listen to me this morning. And if I don't get up here today for any other reason, I'm coming to tell you this thing right here. God had a better plan. God had a better plan, and his plan is always process. God's plan, see, people, especially charismatic people and fundamental Baptists, they think that once you get saved, all your problems gone. I don't know who wrote that theology, but they really screwed that one up. And charismatics have a problem. That's why we're an intellectual charismatic church where it uses grace to reach our community. What charismatics think that when you get saved and then all of a sudden you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that all of a sudden all you have to do is just pray a certain formula and all the bad things go away. That's as screwed up as that one. That somehow you get to be immune from the fall of man. That somehow when you get saved, depravity doesn't affect you. Oh no, it affects you until you get right here. The Feast of Trumpets. And people love God as long as it's the way they want it. But if there's ever a journey and ever a hill to climb and ever something to overcome and it's not easy to overcome, which is why you're in the problem you're in right now to begin with, God doesn't waste his best on quitters. But for those of you that have made it through 2017, God has a better plan. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, I am going to have to die on a cross. And St. Peter stood up and rebuked him. Can you imagine the boldness of Peter to rebuke the Son of God? You talk about making a mistake. But God said, no, God's plan was better. David showed up to fight Goliath, and his brothers and the children of Israel put all this armor on him, and it just didn't work. And God says, I have a better plan. God always has a better plan than the one that you've worked out during these 7 years. God, if you only bring her back. Lord, if you just give me my job back. During the toughest times of my life as a pastor, it's interesting the dreams I have. One of the most successful times of my whole life was in Fayetteville, North Carolina at a 4,000 member church. And I loved it. And in my dreams, I dream of going back and being their youth pastor. Isn't that interesting? When I used to be Mike Perkey's youth pastor and started with 60 kids and ended up with 700 kids, in my dreams, I've had three different dreams that I went back and became the youth pastor at Lenexa. I think that's interesting because we always want to resort back to anything but the process. We want to turn around because this isn't what I signed up for. They told me when I got saved and the Passover lamb missed my door that everything was going to be hunky-dory. And it is. I have more peace and prosperity and joy right here, even no matter what happens to me, than I've ever had in my life. But what gets me and what grieves me as a shepherd is I pastor so many people who can't make it through this. And what really grieves me as a theologian is I understand what's waiting on those that endure until the end. What's waiting on those that did not quit in 2017. What's waiting on you who stayed faithful to God in the midst of hell. Jeremy, come on up. Don't play yet. God had a better plan. 2018, the number eight. Listen to me as I close. God spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, you're going to have a baby son and he's going to be the light of the world. It's going to give, your descendants will be like the sand on the seashore. It's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to put a whole nation through your family. Years later, God, you're late. He's got his wife. And then he's got Ishmael's mama over here. And said, ain't no way this woman, I married her 80 years ago. She can't have no baby. And he says, you know what? Ishmael must be God's plan. So he worked. He strived to help God get to eight. Yeah, to help God. Like he needed your help. Let me tell you something about helping God. If you're not careful and you help God, rather than be patient and get to gratitude, you will give birth to Ishmael and you will change his diapers the rest of your life. And if you don't believe me that that's a problem, turn the television on and every time you hear the word Muslim and every time you hear the word Israel and every time you hear the friction between Muslims and the children of God, then you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you need to wait on God. But what day was it when God showed up when Abraham was 99 years old? The eighth day. Eighth day God showed up. The eighth day was the day of circumcision where there was a covenant. It's one thing to have a fire insurance policy. It's another thing to have a covenant with God and stick with them through hell or high water, good days or bad. Hanukkah lasted for 8 days. There were eight candles in a Hanukkah menorah. There's eight laws of justice in Hebrew teachings. There's tabernacle was dedicated on the eighth day. The eighth day alludes to a departure from the natural to the supernatural. So when you see the number eight, it means you are about to pass from the natural, where you've done all you can do on your own, to where God says on the eighth day, stop working. Be faithful. Do what you know to do is right, and then you watch me do something supernatural in your life and do instantly what you've strived to do all this time during this cycle. But the eighth day in Judaism is where holiness begins. The eighth day in Judaism is actually the day where the guidance of the Holy Spirit begins. The eighth day in Judaism is actually the process to where God begins to intervene in your natural circumstances. The eighth day is the day that life is born. The eighth day is the day that grace truly begins to be understood. The eighth day is the day that you really become wise. God is working everything for your good. To them that are called according to his purposes. There were eight vestments in a high priest. There were eight spices, four for the anointing oil and four for the incense. When you built the anointing oil in Exodus 30, you started with myrrh, and myrrh is bitter. And it is an oil that oozes and drips. But it's also the oil in which you embalm someone with. And you will never see your eighth day until you die to yourself. They would take the myrrh and then they would take it and place it with cinnamon. And cinnamon in the Hebrew is the letter for upright. Until you learn to live right in tough times, you will never walk in the favor of God. I know how to be happy. Stop sinning. They take that cinnamon and they would mix it with cassia, which is what they used to anoint a king with. Everybody likes to shout charismatic phrases about giving God praise, but when you're locked up at midnight, about to die, it's hard to praise him. But if God ever takes your pain and your bitterness, your myrrh, and causes you to live upright before him, and he mingles it with cassia, you'll bless the king like you've never blessed him before. He'll take that cassia and then he'll mix it with something called olive oil. And the beautiful thing about olive oil is that it was not only meant as a symbol of the Holy Spirit where he gets involved, but it is also a balm for healing. Go ahead, Jeremy. You could not, according to Levitical law, make a batch of the anointing oil unless it was a full batch according to the Levitical measurements in the Torah. So the anointing has no shortcuts. And if I remember right, at the beginning of 2017, you asked God to use you. And you ask God to take you and break you. You ask God to do something supernatural through you. And the whole world was watching. You wanted to quit 1,000 times. But your light kept shining. There is a price for the anointing. And it is death to yourself. But what about the incense? You can make it in any kind of batches, according to the Levitical law. So what does that mean? That means while you're waiting for the rapture. And you came in here in 2017 and your loved one had just died. and you lifted up your hands and you only halfway meant what you were saying. Because incense is a symbol of praise. It's a symbol of prayer. And it's funny that the anointing of God that gives you the power to overcome the world and do great exploits and live in favor has no shortcuts. But that God will take half of your broken praise and do some amazing things with it. You can cry and say, God, I don't know why. And give him praise and he'll take half of it. He'll take your broken praise. He'll take your broken promises. He'll take all of the things. And no matter how your praise comes to God, God will take your praise. He'll take your broken praise. In any measurement you want to deal out praise, dish out praise, God will receive it. But he wants you to be used to reach a harvest. And one of these days, not only in the world to come, but in this world, there's going to be a judgment. And just like Joel, Satan is going to say, no wonder he serves you. He's never been through anything. I'd serve you too. You got a hedge of protection around him. And God's going to look back on your 2017 or your cycle of obedience, because all seasons rotate. And he's going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. And before he even says enter in this world, he's going to turn around and say, I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. And there's no way that you're not going to sow in faithfulness, loyalty, consistency, brokenness, and me not bring you to the fat of the land in 2018. I got a better plan than you got. And while it doesn't seem like it's easy to understand some days, I've been working my plan in you last year in ways that you never imagined. And the enemy attacked you, but I got involved again and again and again. And if you'll stay faithful to me and trust me, I promise you I'm going to bring you to a place in your walk with me to where there's going to be a fatness and there's going to be a superabundance and that there's going to be joy. That's what this whole thing about Feast of Tabernacles was about, joy. I'm going to unload joy in you. And it's going to, honestly, there's going to come another season. Number eight is another season. There's going to come another season in your life after you've sown in righteousness, after you've been faithful. There's going to come a season where it's going to get so good and it won't last forever, so manage it well. But there's going to come another season where it's going to be so good, you say, God, goodness gracious, I can't believe all of these blessings on my life. They're overtaking me. And God, the Holy Ghost, is going to look at you like he looked at the children of Israel and said, it's so good, why don't we stay another day? A superabundance. I'm done. If you need me to pray for God's superabundance in your life, get up out of your chair and come and stand right here. Make sure your sins have been forgiven. Make sure you're not afraid of a trial. Make sure you realize you're being called to die to yourself. And that your existence is to win someone to Christ this year. Because Jesus is about to come back for his church. And the world is going to be judged on Yom Kippur. And there's going to be great joy throughout the cosmos for those that have endured. Would you stretch your hands up? Father, I bless them. God, there's so many people, I can't even reach them all. God, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, the power of the blessings of God upon them, that this will be the year. I declare it, God. I declare it, God, to the faithful. I declare it to the ones that have quit. I declare it to the ones that haven't given up. I declare it, God, that 2018 is going to be the year of fatness. It's going to be the year of the supernatural. It's going to be the year, God, that you're going to stick the devil's face in what he's tried to do to us. You're going to humiliate him like you did before the angels. God, that 2018 is going to be the year that the world makes sense and that the blessings of God overtake us. This is going to be the year. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to say this with me. I want you to say, I am blessed. I want you to say, I walk in the favor of God. I want you to say, I am fully accepted. I don't need anyone else's acceptance. I want you to say, this is the year that I feel my emotions. Because I know no matter what emotions I have, you are with me, working all things together for the good. Not just to anybody, but to those that love the Lord and who have been called according to his purpose to be a light to this dying world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. When my enemy comes in, seven ways God will make him flee. Father, I present to you 2017's. Say it with me. I present to you 2017 last moments. Here I am. Here I am. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. The cancer didn't get me. No weapon formed against me worked. Say that. No weapon formed against me worked. Lord, I've made it through the process. And I stand on the precipice of the eighth day. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. Jeremy, just a little quiet there. You have to realize what you just said. Eight times the presence of God landed in the tabernacle. One of those places was in Gilgal. The children of Israel had just rolled 12 stones into the entrance point of the promised land. They weren't fully in the promised land. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't fully out of them. It was the first day of the eighth day. And they finally put their feet on the entrance of the promised land with 12 stones. Gilgad means to roll away. God is getting ready to roll away your 2017. The successes and failures. And you now are on the precipice of 2018 and the fatness of the land. Now I know why God had me preach that last October. Now I understand, Lord. You remember when he asked you, if I were to lay the head of Goliath at your feet, would you still serve me? Me included, no one expected a process of testing to get to that place. Oh. I now get it. God's brought us through it all successfully. And just like Gilgal, the presence of God has brought us to the entrance to the promised land. And he says to us again, when I lay the head of Goliath at your feet, will you still serve me in your prosperity? Now you need to answer that to the Lord right now in your own right there where you're at. You need to answer that to the Lord and realize that he takes notes on what you say. Father, I feel very strongly that you've rolled away 2017 and the lives of people and the debris that it's left, and that they're now standing in the midst of prosperity for 2018. Seasons don't last forever. Help us to handle this season effectively and with great stewardship. But God, we're ready to see you move some stones, to answer some prayers. And I claim it right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now I want to pray for one more person. Mike Marks, where are you at? Right here, come over here, buddy. Why don't you help me pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and that the righteousness of God will follow your family, that the destiny upon your mother come to fruition, and that no weapon formed against you will prosper, little man, and that righteousness will be your rear guard, and that holiness will chase your family. In Jesus' name, this child will be protected and used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Little man, that's going to happen. Hey, what I want you to do, it sounds crazy, but I want you on the count of three to give God a shout. You think about it, on the seventh time, you walked around the walls of Jericho, and God said, you don't need to do anything but just give me a shout of praise, and I'll do the rest. And when you do that, I want you to walk out of here feeling and knowing, not just feeling, but knowing that God is going with you. And that there is absolutely nothing going on in your life that he ain't going to wring every bit of praise and joy out of. Yes, that's right. Absolutely be confident that God is doing these things in your life. I may have gotten anything out of this today. Can I see your heads? You ready? I want you to leave, and I want you to go bring somebody back with you next Sunday.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.